We are thankful to be able to greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was fixing my watch so that I don't do what I did last week and go overtime. But anyhow, we are so thankful we're able to meet with you around the precious Word of God. We thank the Lord that He opens to us the Scriptures and we can come by His appointment and open them to you. We invite you then to turn in your Bibles to the 18th chapter of the book of John. John chapter 18, and we'll begin reading with verse number 33. We want to get down to verse number 36 and see Jesus' two words, my kingdom. My kingdom. He says it twice, three times rather, in verse 36. So we want to look at that and see what we can find out about Christ's kingdom. John 18, begin reading with verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Now that wasn't a smart-aleck answer. That was a good answer. That was the Lord Jesus Christ saying, do you have that by personal revelation? If you see the Son and believe on Him, you have eternal life. Did you come to that by yourself, or is it just something you're repeating that other people said? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? In other words, I'm not a Jew, and I didn't hear that from other Jews. He said, thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And that's two questions he asked him. Art thou the king of the Jews? And what hast thou done? Now, verse 36. Jesus answered, here's our message title, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. There's a lot of information and a lot of content in that verse 36. He uses the word my four times, three times concerning his kingdom and one time concerning his servants. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. He's saying, you got that right. Yes, I am a king. To this end was I born. Jesus Christ understood and proclaimed to this civil magistrate that he was born to be the king, not just king of the Jews, but king of the entire world. And he's giving him that information. Pilate cannot receive it on the level and in the magnitude and the fullness that Jesus meant it. He only is seeing it concerning Caesar and Rome and Pilate's responsibility to them. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. That's the truth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And dear soul, you'd be surprised how many people get upset when I try to preach and manifest to them and show them that Jesus Christ is presently reigning Lord. They don't believe that. They want to go to heaven and them and mama teach angels how to sing and build their cabin in the corner of glory land and crown Jesus Lord of all. You're too late. God already has done that. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So he came here as Lord. But we are so messed up, it is unbelievable how polluted we are with the water that come out of the serpent's mouth. Listen, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He's telling you how his kingdom is going to work. If you can hear, not just with your outer ear, not with your physical ear, not just perceiving and understanding the wording and the enunciation of the sentences, but you can hear in your heart. You can believe on him. This kind of hearing involves belief, not just understanding, not just comprehending, but it is a revelation of God to your soul. Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" He said, "I hear people all the time, everybody comes in here, they lie to try to get out of what they've done, and I don't think anybody knows what the truth is." But he had it wrong. He asked, "What is truth?" He should have asked, "Who is truth?" Because the truth was standing right in his presence. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And John said in his epistle, "That which our hands have handled, that which our eyes have seen, that which we have heard of the word of life." Jesus Christ was the very word of life. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life." 1 John 1:1. So Pilate said, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. Dear soul, if you don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't receive him as the very word of life, you will return back to religion. He went out again back to the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no fault in him." You'll say, "I'm not persuaded one way or another. I went to church, I got baptized, I bought me a Bible, and then, you know, I ain't persuaded one way or another. I don't find no fault in him. I don't find nothing particular saving in him. I'm joining the church to kind of, you know, hedge my bed in case there is a God, in case there is hell. I don't want to go there, so I'm just going to go through this." You're going to be worse off at the end of that than you were from the beginning. Now, he said, "I find no fault in him, but here's his way out. Ye have a custom." Your custom is that at this time, I should release unto you one at the Passover. Isn't this your Passover? Yep. Well, you have a custom, and you want me to release somebody, some prisoner, to celebrate your Passover. "You have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" And listen what they said. Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Religion had rather have robbers and thieves than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to find out more about these two words, "my kingdom," that he repeated three times in John 18:36. And I want you to understand, dear soul, that you say these words. You pray these words. You look at Matthew chapter 6, the book of Matthew chapter 6. I got back over in the Old Testament. Let me get back over in the New. There it is. Matthew chapter 6. You say these words in Matthew chapter 6. Let me find my place. You ready? Okay, here we go. Here it is. Matthew chapter 6. And verse number 10. Now, this is the beginning of what religion calls the Lord's Prayer. It's not really the Lord's Prayer because they said, "Teach us to pray." This is the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found in John 17. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and spoke to the Father. And so we see that in this that is called the Lord's Prayer, and we repeat it, we quote it, but you better be careful because there's things in here that'll get you in trouble if you don't really mean it. Because you say, "Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others." If you're holding grudges against people, you're in trouble. Because you just got through saying, Lord, forgive us our trespasses in the way that I forgive others. Well, if you're not forgiving others, you're telling the Lord not to forgive you. We need to be careful. But that's not our message. Let's go back to verse number 10 of Matthew chapter 6. It starts off in verse 9, Our Father which art in heaven, your name ought to be hallowed or reverenced or honored. Okay, next verse. Thy what? Kingdom comes. Here you are after you tell that tell the Father he should be glorified and honored and worshiped above all things, above all people, above all creatures. The next thing you say, we want thy kingdom to come, and it will be done and noted by thy will be being done in earth as the same as it is in heaven. Do you realize what you're saying? Thy kingdom come. They're praying that the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ would come. Of course, we in our day already know that it has come. It came at Pentecost. It came when the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is finished, when the Holy Ghost was sent, when Jesus ascended back to heaven and sat upon his throne. And now we're praying, thy kingdom come. And how do we know it has come on earth? If God's will is done on earth, the same as it is done in heaven. Now, that leads us to understand some things. Go back to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse number 20. Psalm 103. In verse 20, how is God's will done on earth? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Psalm 103 and verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, listen, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. That's how God's will is done in heaven. Those mighty angels hear his commandments and obey them. That's how God's will is done in heaven. Now, that's the way you identify the kingdom on earth. It's not denominationalism. It's not that people are meeting under the name of a particular brand of religion. It's where do you find people hearing the word of God and obeying it? That's what you're saying. That's what you're praying. You need to stop praying that if you don't mean it. Thy kingdom come. Okay, that's good. Now, how do you want thy kingdom to come? By thy will being done on earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will being done in heaven? Psalm 103 and verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Dear soul, just because there are churches, plural, everywhere in our nation doesn't mean that the kingdom of God is found within them. I'll tell you what you do. You try to make people listen to the preaching of the scriptures. I'm not talking about some little sermonette that the preacher comes up with after watching CNN all week. I'm not talking about some little moral, story, some little fable that has a moral ending to it and a moral purpose of it, and everybody goes home feeling good. I'm talking about, do you face the strength of the Word of God applied by the Holy Spirit to your heart? Dear soul, one of the things that I have seen, 50 years of preaching, I've seen this. If you have people that come in and disturb the spirit of the church, the personality of the church, you don't have to go up against them and try to root them out and like they Apostles said, Lord, as tares among the wheat, shall we root them out? Jesus said, leave them alone. You don't know who's tares and who's wheat. They all look alike. And while you're pulling up tares, you might root up some wheat along with it, and that's not good. So how do you get them out? This is what the Holy Spirit has taught me. 50 years of experience. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Rebuke, exhort, you know, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Keep their feet to the fire. What are you talking about? Preach the word. Continue to stay in the word. Raise the temperature so high that it's seen not to be the preacher's opinion only. It is my opinion, but it's only because God revealed it to me. And if you continue to press the word of God upon a congregation, eventually the tares will find another church and they'll blaspheme you on the way out the door so that they might justify themselves for leaving the word of God. That's the way it is. That's the way that it is. So in Psalm 68 and verse number 17, Psalm 68 and verse number 17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is in absolute control of the angels. They were at Mount Sinai. They heard the law. They hear the word of God in heaven. They bow to it. And we pray, thy kingdom come. Oh, it makes me feel good. Get a warm, fuzzy feeling. Yeah, we're good. All right. What's the next part of it? Thy will be done exactly on earth as it is in heaven. There is no rebellion of any creatures in heaven against God. None. So you're asking God to do that. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse number 20, all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. All authority. That's Matthew 28 and verse 20. Matthew 18 and verse 20 says, for where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So if there's any gathering together in the name of God, they are gathering together under the obedience to his word. They're gathering together under the preaching of his word, which is scarce as hen's teeth these days. So you can't hardly find any church where the pulpit sticks to the word of God and follows the word of God chapter and verse. They just not going to do it. They don't want to hear it. So where there are two or three gathered together in his name, we want to hear what God said. Preacher, we don't want your opinion only. We want to hear God's word. And so you're saying, thy kingdom come. How do you know the kingdom has come? By the will of God being done on earth as it is in heaven. So go find the kingdom. We can't find people doing the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. We can't find a church where everybody that's a member there gives heed to the word of God like the angels do, with no saying but, no saying what if, no saying yeah, but God don't really mean that. Here you go back to the devil talking to Eve. Yea, hath God said? Is that what he really meant? I know that's what he said. You said it word for word, but surely that's not what God really meant. And they'll tell you, well, my God don't really mean that. And they're right, because their God is not the true and living God. So we understand, dear soul, that this thing of God's kingdom is not like what men imagine. Thy kingdom come. How? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in Matthew chapter 6, should have read this before we left it. And verse number 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever. Amen. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, are you 100% resigned if you get into trouble, if you get into problems, if you have whatever kind of problems it may be. Are you resigned to going to God and leaning not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledging him and trust God and ask him to help you get out of it, and then you wait upon the Lord and don't run hither there, hither and thither, there and yon, and try to get all the help you can and in case God don't answer? This old, we can't hardly find the kingdom of God like that. We need to understand that thine is the kingdom. His is the power. And if you wait on God's power and he manifests himself, then he gets the glory. And thine is the glory forever. Amen. That's what it says. So we don't really know what the kingdom of God is all about. In the next chapter, Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. When do people say, Lord, Lord? When they pray, when they talk about the Lord to others. Just because those words are in your mouth doesn't mean that the absolute lordship of Christ is in your heart. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, who does enter into the kingdom of heaven? The latter part of Matthew 7:21. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. My kingdom, what is it? It's those people and that place and those attitudes wherein God's will is being done exactly on earth as it is in heaven. You can't find it. There may be one or two, where one or two or three are gathered together in my name. You can go to church and get a lot of friends, and they can befriend you on Facebook or whatever that stuff is. And you can have fun typing to one another and, fellowshipping together, but you don't have God in that thing. But you go to church and try to find somebody that can talk to you about the revelations of God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost, and you're going to be looking for hen's teeth. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Well, we've got a big church. No, you've got a big organization. The true church is an organism. It is orderly. Let all things be done decently and in order. But it's not an organization. You can't join the kingdom. Dear soul, Jesus made it plain that the only way to even recognize the kingdom, the only way to get into the kingdom, was by the Holy Spirit birthing you. In John chapter 3, he made it very clear as he spoke to Nicodemus. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That's religion. We're all excited about being excited. Oh, you're doing all these miracles. So we know you're a man of God. God said you better watch it, because Antichrist is going to be able to call fire down from heaven too and deceive many. And what did Jesus say to him? Yeah, you're right. I do a lot of miracles. No. He cared for Nicodemus' soul and for your soul and mine too, because we got this written down. Who was it that took notes while Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and brought it out so that we're still reading it here 2,000 plus years later? The Holy Spirit. That's who did it. He shall bring all things to your remembrance. Listen. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, surely, surely, I say unto you, except a man be born from above, be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Churches are filled with people who cannot see the kingdom of God. Because, dear soul, you are wrong if you think that everybody that's baptized, everybody that is a member of some denominational order is a child of God. You're wrong. Those who are born from above are the only ones who can see the kingdom of God. They have the ability to perceive and understand and know the kingdom of God because God's will is being done on earth in them as it is in heaven. And they are those two or three that are gathered together in His name that He is actually in the midst of them. That's what He said. So, no man, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? No idea, no concept of the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad that there's no age requirement for being born again and coming to know God? Some people come to know God and are born again when they're young, some in their middle age, some in their old age. Nicodemus said, you can't be old and be born again. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Jesus said, well, let me take one more stab at it. Verse 5, he says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 3, except you are born from above and the Holy Spirit actually regenerates you and brings you out of except the Holy Spirit bring you out of the death of the spiritual man in Adam, you were born of your mom and daddy who were born of their mom and daddy who were born of their mom and daddy, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And in Adam, all die. Then you need to be born again, born from above, to even see the kingdom of God. You don't even know where it is and what it is. We can't trust on religion to give us an understanding of the kingdom of God. They can't see it. Therefore, they give us a wrong definition of it. They can't know it. Why? Because they're not born again. Joining the church and being baptized and buying a Bible and sitting there and going through the motions of whatever the tradition of religion is there does not mean that you know God. So he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom in verse 3. He cannot enter the kingdom in verse number 5. And he tells you something. In verse 6, and we need to understand this. Born again Christians need to understand this as well as unregenerate church members. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It reads like this, that which is born of the flesh continues to be flesh. It can't be anything else. And then he says, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, is spirit. It continues to be spirit. And so we understand and see that that which is born of God cannot sin, John says. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and the Holy Spirit does not, cannot, will not sin. So the man that you are in Christ is a perfect man because it is the Spirit of God. Excuse me. The Spirit of God dwelling in you. My voice kind of cracked. It is the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and that which is born of the Spirit cannot sin. He's not talking about any man that claims to be a Christian can't ever sin again. That's not what he's saying. You better understand that that which is born of the flesh is still being flesh, and therefore I have to watch out and pray and ask God every day, forgive me, Lord. I have to die daily to myself and say, flesh, you're not going to have your way today. And those lusts and desires and yearnings that come from the flesh that pop up, I have to immediately cut them down. I have to immediately go after with the sword of the Spirit. And I have to conquer myself every day for the glory of God. If you're not in that warfare, you don't even know what the kingdom is. because that which is born of the flesh is going to continue to be flesh. It can't be spiritual. It never will be spiritual. It's going to always be fleshly. And you're always going to have it until the day you die. But that which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is going to continue to be spiritual. And that's what you need to do. Feed that spiritual man. Nourish him. Bring him under the preaching of the Word of God. Let him feast off Christ's body as the preaching of the Word goes forth and encourages him and strengthens him. And that's only two or three gathered together in my name. I guarantee you, dear soul, everybody in your congregation is not saved. How do you know? Because I have been in this thing for a long time, and I understand and know not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Isn't that something? You be careful, dear soul. We don't really understand and know and perceive what the kingdom of God is all about. Now, I want you to see something, if you will. Let me read you another verse first. Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. You say, well, that's Pentecost. Right. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. Acts 2 and verse 41. Then they which gladly received his word were baptized. What does that mean? When Peter got through preaching, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So we understand and see that those who were baptized and were said to be brought into to the true church that continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, next verse, they were baptized. They were those that were born again. They were those of the true church. 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Why? Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is the kingdom perceived in heaven? Angels who are mighty in power, they obey explicitly, precisely, the word of God. That's how the will of God is done in heaven. Now, you want to know the kingdom? Then you try to find me how the word of God is precisely obeyed on earth. And he said, here you received the word of God that you heard of us, not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, it actually is the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The apostle is writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he said, I am thankful for you because the kingdom can be seen to be among you. How do you know, Apostle Paul, that the kingdom of God is among them? Because the kingdom is, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. I'm seeing the word of God being received by these people of Thessalonica, not as the word of men.
Well, that's just the preacher's opinion. Well, this is what we believe. Why do you believe it? Well, that's the way we've always believed it. And that's what the preacher says.
No. They received it as God's word. It's amazing to me that there are those who contact me after some of these messages and say, God strongly convicted me.
I bow my knees and say thanks be to God. It wasn't me. Yes, I am the conduit, the pipe through which the gospel flows, but it has to come from God. He is the Alpha, the beginning of this thing, and the Omega. He'll finish it up. Not me, but I'm thankful that by the foolishness of preaching, God has ordained to save them that believe. And I'm thankful to hear that some of you say, I was greatly convicted by that message, and I have ceased to speak evil of dignities. Wonderful, that's great. And the apostle says, we're thankful when we heard this of you. Because when you received the word of God, when you heard that you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in the truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. You find me those people that have the word of God effectually working in them. It's just the way of life with them. It's the way that it should be. It's the way that it will be. You can't dissuade them by saying, well, that's just the preacher's opinion. They didn't receive it as the preacher's opinion. They heard him preach, but it was the Holy Spirit that was speaking to them. Amen. Isn't that good? And the preacher don't have to follow them around all the rest of the week and see, you need to do this, you need not to do this. The Holy Spirit guides and leads them. That's what this thing is all about. That's why it's called the foolishness of preaching, because it doesn't have any effect upon you except the Holy Ghost apply it to you as the word of God, as thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is watching over them. God is looking after them. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is conveying themselves to him and conveying himself to them during the week. And they go about singing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Glory to God. Thanks be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ who dwells with us and shall be in us. He said the Holy Ghost would be another comforter just like him. Ain't God good? Amen. The Lord is so good. In Matthew 13, and you know, we need to come and abide in this chapter, really. But in Matthew 13, if you will remember, there were four types of soil. Three types of soil were not beneficial to the producing of fruit. But in verse number 23 of Matthew 13, the fourth type of soil was the good ground hearer. And it says in Matthew 13, 23, but he that receiveth seed, the seed of the gospel, into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it and bringeth forth fruit, and beareth fruit also some a hundredfold and some 60 and some 30. There are different degrees of fruit produced, but there is never a lack of fruit being produced. According to your ability that God grants you is how the fruit will be produced. And it is only one soil out of four. I'll get it right. Out of four that produces fruit. So it's only in that good ground hearer that thy will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, did you hear my cousin Sal joined the church and was baptized? Really? Yeah. Next year, time for the family reunion. Sal said, are y'all going to go to the family reunion? And the true believer says, isn't that on Sunday? Yeah, but it won't hurt us to miss one Sunday, and we're going to go down there, and Uncle Bill is going to bring his guitar, and we're going to sing and pick and sing and enjoy the old folk songs that we used to have when we was a kid. It'll be wonderful. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
old Sal got, she got a membership into the local religious order, but did she get into the kingdom? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, there you go, ruining my family reunion. No, that's not what this is about. I don't care about your family reunion. You want to go to the family reunion? Help yourself. People that come up to me and tell me, well, we're not going to be here next Sunday because, whatever the reason, I say, y'all be careful. They think I mean y'all be careful driving. Y'all be to get there, and y'all be careful when you get there that you don't do anything dumb and hurt yourself or, you know, cause any problems by accidents. That's not exactly all I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is you be very careful because you can grieve and quench the Holy Spirit by putting your family reunion first. The good ground here brings forth fruit. Go back to Matthew 6 and verse 33. And here is one of the early verses that the Holy Spirit impressed upon my soul. And he says, verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, what you're going to eat and what we're going to drink, what we're going to put on. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. It's understood by God. He's going to take care of you. God who delivered up his Son for us, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Now listen at the next verse, Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye, watch it, first. Church attendance, that ain't what it's talking about. It may involve that, but that's not what it's talking about. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And seek ye first his righteousness. It took me a long time to get that through my thick head. It took me a long time to get that through my darkened heart. What do you mean, seek his righteousness? You're seeking morality because you are more affiliated with the local church order, religious order, than you are in your consciousness to the affiliation with God and his spiritual kingdom. Can you say, can I say that God's will is done in my heart because I'm in the kingdom in the same way that his will is done in heaven? Ooh. Move on, preacher. That's kind of tough. Yeah, it's tough on me too. But listen, God says here's what you're to do. You're to seek first the kingdom of God. First of all, you're to seek the kingdom of God first in your own obedience, in your own desire to hear the word. There's not an angel in heaven that said, oh no, we got to hear that word again. I'm going to hide over here behind this tree. I don't want to hear it. His angels, mighty in strength, they hear his word. That's what the book said. Let me read it to you again. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. There is absolutely no disobedience in heaven concerning the word of God, but more than that, there's not even a dread of God giving them commandments as what to do. Someone once said, and I agree with him, and I appreciate the opportunity to have heard this, if God told an angel here, take this broom and go down there and sweep the streets of Jerusalem, he would have been just as proud and thankful and happy to be able to have a commandment from God, and he would have think it was wonderful that he was doing what God did, as it was to tell Gabriel, go tell Mary she's going to have a baby. Do we have that kind of spirit? Are we willing to do whatever God tells us, whenever God tells us, and abide in His Word, thereby seeking not the church's morality, but God's righteousness. Whoo! Move on, preacher. I told you, you may have a big congregation, but there's only two or three that are gathered together in His name. They can't take this kind of preaching. And if you want to drive out the hypocrites, you don't have to have a vote on conference night and vote them out and have a big squabble. All you got to do is preach the word, be instant in season, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine, raise the temperature of the spiritual word so high that when it reaches its boiling point, it boils out all impurities. Next thing you know, they're gone. Some of them stood right here and said, this is where God told us to come hear the word. We're so thankful that we can hear the word. 6 months later, pew, they're gone. Why? Because God's will is being done on earth as it is in heaven, even though we don't really seek it, believe it, or abide by that. But the Word of God is powerful, dear soul. It's powerful. Thank God for the power of His Word. He said that Word which our ears have heard, which our hands have touched. So we understand and see that one must have a spiritual birth. And in that John chapter 3, if I can get back to it, John chapter 3, verse number 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, I, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, say unto thee, Nicodemus, highly decorated religionist, don't know a thing in the world about the Spirit. And dear soul, a lot of us were brought up under those kind of people. They had a hard word to come down on us, thou shalt do this. But they didn't have a single iota of the spiritual things of God. In fact, one of them said, if you don't hear me in this pulpit preaching, you can't hear from God. Only when I'm up here preaching can you know and hear God. That's an abomination in the sight of God. He was saying, I am God. I'll tell you what to do. Dear soul, I'm telling you, y'all pray for me. I don't know what to do, and I can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking through me and to me. But dear soul, it's not me. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that which we do know. Jesus said, I'm speaking that which I know and testify that we have seen. And ye receive not our witness. Here you have the eternal being of God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. Here He is, almighty invisible God, in His full true essence, standing there in the Spirit, standing there in the flesh. He says, I'm telling you what I received, what I know, what I perceive, that which I have seen. I am God and involved with all spiritual truth, but you won't receive it. Listen, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And he said, I want you to know something. Revelation and understanding of the precepts of God don't come by some guru sitting on the mountaintop in his in his robe, the old wise and toothless one, and bringing, truth to you. Listen to verse number 13 of John chapter 3. This is Jesus Christ telling you how revelation comes to man. And no man hath ascended up to heaven to get this truth. Forget Jack and the beanstalk. They went up the beanstalk and there he found the golden the goose that laid the golden egg. That ain't okay. That may be an old wives' tale and some kind of story that we pass on. some old fable, but dear soul, listen, that's not the way it happened. Don't let that get in your heart. The only way that that man received truth is this. No man ascendeth up to heaven. I don't care if it was Moses and the law on Mount Sinai. He ascended up and he got the law and brought it back down. That's not what happened. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, watch it, which is, and I might add, at that particular moment, in heaven. Jesus Christ was standing right there in Nicodemus' presence. Maybe he was sitting across the desk from him. I don't know what their posture was. But he said, nobody has ever been up to heaven to get truth. It didn't originate with man going up to get it. It originated with God the truth bringing it down from heaven, and it originated from the Son of Man, which is currently at this present moment in heaven right now. Jesus Christ is very God in this one particular aspect. It's proven because he is omnipresent. What does that mean? It means that there's no place from which he is separated from. There's no place which he is not in filling. He is very God, and he brought the truth down to us. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Reverenced and holy be thy name. Okay, next thing. What are you going to say next? Thy kingdom come. Good. We want thy kingdom come. How do you want it to come? We want it to come on earth the same as it is in heaven. Be careful. You just reduced the true church identity from all of those on your rolls over there at that where you celebrate churchanity to the two or three that are gathered together in his name that do not receive that preacher's word as the word of man, but as the word, as it were, of God. And they believe it, and they act on it, and they live it, and they seek first the kingdom of God. When they hear anything, whether it's on the news or whether it's somebody in their congregation who may not even be saved saying something, or they hear the preacher preaching the word, whatever they hear, they take it to God and say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't want to act upon whatever that was said to me as a reaction of even religious flesh. We want to act upon everything by the work of the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit leads us into actions. Religion leads you into reactions. My kingdom is not of this world. Now, if I don't get anything else across to you, I want you to go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I want to bring you to verse 20, but let me start reading with verse 17. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, Apostle Paul calling those at Philippi, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. That's amazing. Do like I do, the apostle said, because I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. He said, I want you to understand this, verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, these people are not of God. I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You don't understand it. They don't have a sacrificial attitude about them. They do not die to themselves and seek first the kingdom of God and seek first God's righteousness. They're not just trying to put forth their own morality.
We don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't go with the ones that do.
Yay, what a good boy am I. Not everybody that appears to be moral is righteous. And God says to seek the kingdom first and seek his righteousness first. And when you find those who are seeking God's righteousness and have the kingdom put forth as first, you will have those that you can genuinely and completely and fully fellowship with. Now listen. He said they are the enemies of the cross. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and they glory in their shame, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Granted that they are religious earthly things, but dear soul, you might as well understand that that is so far away from God, because it is not a spiritual mindedness. Now, let me bring you to the next verse. And we're going to have to help you with this. If you have the King James Bible, and that's what we preach from, but we try to interpret the words for you when they don't put forth the precise revelation that is needed. Verse 20 of Philippians 3, King James Version, straight out. Here we go. For our conversation is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our conversation, the New King James says, our citizenship. This word conversation comes from the word citizen. In Luke 15 and verse 15, the Greek word that's translated citizen in Luke 15:15 is what from whence this word is drawn. It is also the exact same words found in Acts chapter 23 and verse number 1, quote, I have lived, unquote. So right where we live is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, folks, I want you to understand something. I understand I pledge allegiance to the flag and all that sort of stuff. I understand our patriotism. But you better be careful, dear soul, lest you bring offense to the Lord Jesus Christ, where it says in Revelation chapter 11, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And as we started to quote earlier, and I got it messed up, Matthew 28, 18, all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. And we ask, how much does that leave out? If all authority is given Christ in heaven and in earth, then there's none that is left out. Jesus Christ is in authority over everything. So yes, I'm thankful for my nation. I'm thankful for America. I didn't know how thankful I should be of America till I went on a mission trip down to Central America. Went down to the Yucatan Peninsula and down through San Salvador and Nicaragua. And I began to understand and see, man, we've got blessings in America, and I've just taken them for granted. I came back home after 7 days being down in that part of the world, and went back to work on the first work day after I got back, and I was thirsty and went over to the water fountain and put my foot on the treadle and mashed it, and up come water, not just water, cold water. I bowed my head to drink that cold water, but before I could let the water touch my lips, I started weeping. What were you weeping for? Because I had just come from a world 7 days and nights with brothers and sisters who live down there in that world, and you have to be careful with drinking their water. You can get bacteria and amoeba and I don't know what all in that water, and you need to boil it. And for me to just punch that treadle and phew, water come up, but not just water, but ice cold, cool, wonderful, refreshing American drinking water. It bothered me that I had not been thankful for this all of my life. And then I came to understand and see, yeah, I appreciate America. I thank God for America. I reverence the laws. I honor the flag. But this one thing I've come to learn in my Christianity over the years, that's not where my citizenship lies. Our citizenship is in heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek ye first. Dear soul, you should be more proud and more thankful and more striving towards God's righteousness in His kingdom than you are trying to obey the laws of America. I don't want you to disobey any laws. God forbid. Render tribute to whom tribute is due. In other words, pay your taxes. Render tradition where tradition is due, but you better make sure that your patriotism does not excel or make you reject your kingdom citizenship. We have, because of politics in these last few years, come to the place to where we don't even give it a thought to speak evil of dignities, because we are whatever your political party is. We are Republicans. We are Democrats. We are independents. Be careful. I thought you said you was a Christian. Doesn't sound like to me you're seeking first the kingdom. You need to be careful. And when God had me on the road preaching in those Sovereign Grace conferences, I told the people at these conferences, be careful that you don't mistake your patriotism for your Christianity. And it's being done everywhere in our nation. And we're in a mess. And we're wondering why God is not honoring us like He has in times gone by. And it's because we have abandoned His kingdom as far as our energies and our efforts and our prayers. Yes, we pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You don't no more mean that than nothing. It's just quoting like the Apostles' Creed. I went to one church one time, and the first thing they did is said, open your hymnals to the back cover. And there it was, pasted on the back cover, the Apostles' Creed. And we all had to read it. It didn't mean a thing. But that was tradition. That's what you're supposed to do. And this old, that's what the, quote, Lord's Prayer is happening. That's what's happening to the Lord's Prayer among us who say we are Christians. But it's a funny animal, Christians who are not in the kingdom. That's a strange bird, isn't it? Is the will of God being done in your heart, in my heart, on earth, the same as it is in heaven? Oh, my soul. For our citizenship is in heaven. Dear soul, I have folded up my flags of loyalty to this, that, and the other over the years. And I have come to say, thank God for America. Thank God for
the land that I love, and I do hope you stand beside her and guide her. But dear soul, make no mistake about it, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, he is going to, Revelation 5, we read this so many times, Revelation chapter 5, and they sung a new song, verse 9, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For, because thou wast slain, thank you, Lord Jesus, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Watch out for the next two words. You redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, language, people, and nation. Out of every nation. Is America a nation? Yes. Is he going to take Americans to heaven en masse? No. He's going to take believers and those who were in the kingdom out of America and take them back with him to enter into his glory. Folks, we need to be careful. We're being deceived by church membership. We're being deceived because we are Americans. And I'm trying to make sure I hadn't gone over again. And I think I have. And we need to understand and perceive the kingdom of God. I've got to cut this off. I went over again, even though I set my watch up. And we will come and try to bring you the second message on my kingdom. God bless you. Thank you.